your attention back to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and we'll read our text verse and we'll begin. We'll give you a brief overview of where we got to, and then we'll begin looking at the final part of this message on how to handle stress and care. And I reminded you this morning that stress is really the outcome of care, of having too much anxiety, having too much care in your heart about things. You get stressed out, and as a result of this getting stressed out, you get sick. There are all kinds of diseases that are associated with this kind of stress, and we looked at this morning at this verse of Scripture and considered some of the facts about care and stress, and we want to just read this verse again to start up. In verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We emphasize caring this morning. You having too much care, you having too much anxiety, having too much worry, and we all do that. We all get too involved with our problems, and we all get too involved with worrying about things and causing stress on ourselves and distress in our heart and in our lives. And the result is that we don't do ourselves justice health-wise, and we don't do God justice in serving Him. And so this morning we mentioned the fact that this is some really good advice from God because of some of those reasons that our health depends on casting our care upon God, and that human beings, a lot of the ailments that they suffer, they do suffer because of having these anxieties, these problems, this kind of caring, this kind of over concern. And we went on to look this morning at the fact that this command of God, this instruction of God, has nothing to do with shirking your responsibility. That casting all your care upon God is not the same as laying down and giving up and letting somebody else take care of your problems. That's a whole different thing, and we tried to make it clear this morning that this does not give us a license to say, well, I'm going to say whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Things are going to happen the way they're going to happen regardless of what I do one way or another. So I'm going to sit down and let God take care of it. He'll have a way to do it. That's not what this teaches. It teaches us to be productive, to be useful, but it teaches us to get rid of the care that comes along with worrying about something that we have no control over whatsoever. And that was one of the points that we made about our health, that it's a great and wonderful bit of instruction from God because we don't have any control over what we worry about anyway, that we are totally dependent on God, and whatever that God does, we need, and whatever He will do, we need. And if He doesn't do something for us in regard to the things that we worry about, worrying all the world away is not going to provide a solution to our problems. Acting alone, we cannot change one thing that causes the care that we go through. And so we covered those points this morning in our message, and we want to kind of pick up from there and think about the next thing that this verse teaches us when God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You'll notice that He is very plain in teaching us there that no kind of care is exempt from this piece of instruction. Nothing that you care about has to be cast aside and said, well, you're not required to say, well, God it doesn't have time for this, or I can't bring this to Him. Now, there are some things that we get anxious about and get under stress about that we bring on ourselves that we need to be careful about calling on God and casting upon Him or trying to cast upon Him. When we create our own problems, our own damage to our own lives, We have to be careful about how we take that to God. Because whatever we get when we deny the Lord or when we disobey the Lord, whatever we get, we've got coming. But there's no reason when we find ourselves in a bad place and find ourselves under God's chastisement and find ourselves overloaded with things, with burdens, weights, troubles, there's no reason we should continue to have anxiety and worry about it. The one thing the Bible teaches about us getting under stress as a result of some wrongdoing and getting crossways with God, one thing certainly that the Bible teaches is that we may bring that to God and confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we do that, we can forget about worrying about it. Because when we get our spirits right with God, whatever we've got to go through, He'll take care of. And we'll get to some of that at the end of the message. But no kind of care, no anxiety, no stress, no worry is excluded. Plainly, God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, we tend, brothers and sisters, to categorize problems. And one of the most popular statements that we use when we're categorizing problems is, well, I don't want to bother you with this. We say that a lot. This is something I really don't want to bother you with. And we do that talking to one another when we have an opportunity to discuss something that's going on in our life. And the bad thing is we too often approach God the same way. We think and begin to pray and begin to talk to the Lord, and in the back of our mind we're saying, well, I won't bother Him with this. Well, brothers and sisters, let me just ask each of us a question. Is it bothering you? If it's bothering you, you need to go to God with it. Consider that the very fact that it's bothering you is a just cause for talking to the Lord about it. That's the truth of the matter. And so, let's not fall into the habit of categorizing problems and saying, well, I got these five here that are, you know, they're no big deal, or they're things that I just feel self-conscious taking to the Lord. But these two here I feel okay about. I'll go to the Lord with them. If you've got something you feel a little bit self-conscious about going to the Lord with, you want to know how to get rid of that self-consciousness? Go to the Lord with it. And the Holy Spirit will do just a wonderful work in your heart, and He'll show you why you're feeling self-conscious about it. And it may be nothing more than what I mentioned this morning, pride. You may be feeling down in your subconscious too proud to take this before God. Well, the Holy Spirit can clear this all up for you. And so, when we are tempted to do like that with the Lord, let's put that aside and let's bring every care to the Lord. Now, let me just illustrate how we often do. At least illustrate by way of discussing some cares that you have and showing you the contrast that we often get ourselves into in bringing cares to the Lord. For instance, maybe you have a serious problem with sickness that's got you almost completely worried to death about. Well, you, as a child of God, know, and you'll probably feel good and comfortable about casting your care on the Lord about that. We'll run right straight to the Lord. But when there's something that's seemingly insignificant, like maybe you have a bolt loose on your car, it's going down the road, it's rattling a little bit, and you get worried about it. You get anxious about it. You even get under stress about it. You think, well, go to the Lord and talk to Him about a bolt loose on my car. Yeah, exactly. Casting all your care upon Him. If you got anxious about it, it's time to talk to the Lord about that anxiety. Now, the best thing you can probably do is pull over to the side of the road and make sure why the bolt's rattling, but the truth of the matter is, if you've gotten anxious about it, that anxiety, that stress, that care is the thing to take to the Lord. He can help you with the care, and you can help yourself with the loose bolt. That's the matter that we're talking about. Maybe you're fretting about, and I think I do some of this, maybe you're fretting about the threat of nuclear war posed by what North Korea and Iran are doing right now. And so you probably, if you fret and worry about that, you probably take some of that to the Lord. You cast your care upon the Lord and say, Lord, I can't take care of nations trying to start nuclear war, but you can help me not to worry about it. Maybe you do that, but what about something real minor like a baby crying in the back of a church building? And you get under stress about that. Now, I don't know why you would. Maybe you worry that the baby's got something hurting it and you're worried for the baby and you get stressed about that. Whatever the reason, it's a trivial thing almost. Why should you take that to the Lord? Because you're worried about it. That's why you should take it to the Lord. Not because it's a big thing, but because you're worried about it. So whether we cast some care on the Lord in this little compartment here and leave that in this compartment here out, or whether we try to cast all of our care on Him, whether we do or not has nothing to do at all with the urgency of what's caused the stress. It has nothing at all to do with the measurement of how severe the situation is that's caused you the anxiety and the worry. It has nothing to do with any of those things, but rather it has to do with the fact that the Lord has commanded us to cast all of our care upon Him. That's what it has to do with. And we sometimes say, well, as I've already been saying, this is insignificant. So why should I take it to the Lord? You should take it to the Lord because you're worrying about it. Yeah, worrying gets you crossways with the Lord. It gets us out of kilter spiritually. And as I've already pointed out this morning, it gets us out of kilter health-wise. Now, so being selective about what care we commit to the Lord is like, it's obtuse. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, being selective about what we're going to take to the Lord when it's worrying us and fretting us is like standing in a closet and with five poisonous snakes and deciding which two we're going to kill. That's what it's like. What are you going to do with the other three? And brethren, that's the way we do with these cares. I locked up in a closet with five snakes. You're going to be thinking about killing two of them and leave the other three alive and being with them. That's how absurd it is for us being selective about what we take to the Lord. Now, there are things in this world, brothers and sisters, that probably cause millions of people all kinds of anxiety and worry and stress. There are a lot of things like that. I can think of a bunch, let me just enumerate a few and show you how contrasting it is for us to take big things, our care about big things of the Lord, and not take our care about little things. There's things like what I mentioned, the possibility of nuclear fallout or nuclear bombings, nuclear war. There was once a nuclear bomb that was dropped on a city in Japan that killed 1 million people. That's powerful. That's something big. Can't even begin to measure how much stress, anxiety, and care that was caused by that bomb dropping to a bunch of Japanese people living around there. Can't even begin to measure it. But the effects were enormous. Caused the death of 1 million people. And, you know, this past year there was a tornado. Well, in fact, last week, a tornado in Oklahoma that killed 24 people and destroyed millions of dollars worth of property. That was significant. Something there that happened that caused all kinds of problems. Same thing happened in Missouri last year and killed 124 people and destroyed literally millions of dollars worth of property. About 8,000 buildings, from what I read, were destroyed by that tornado. So these things are enormously impacting to populations of people. Hurricane Katrina, when it practically washed away New Orleans and some other Gulf Coast areas, killed 1,846 people and wrecked about 275,000 homes. That's big. How many homeless people out on the street looking for some place to live, we're overcome with worry and anxiety and stress. We don't know. Millions, probably, if it was 275,000 homes that were destroyed. So that those things are big, and they cause a large amount of stress over a wide area. But do you want to know what is most stressful causing thing on the planet today among humans? A little bitty microscopic germ. And always has been. You know, every pandemic, every great epidemic that's ever struck human beings started out with one germ, didn't it? Started out with one germ. Have to have a microscope to see them. And I'm going to tell you something. I've looked at a lot of germs under a microscope, and some of those little fellers you have to have turned way up on high magnification to see them. They're small. Just practically insignificant. But they are one of the most impacting, stress-causing, anxiety-creating things on the face of the planet. Little bitty guys that we call germs. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. In 430 B.C., there was a big epidemic during the Peloponnesian War in which 30,000 citizens of the city of Athens died from an epidemic that struck that city. 30,000 citizens died from that. And that was a smallpox outbreak. And then in 541-542 A.D., there was an outbreak of bubonic plague in the Byzantine Empire, and several more followed in Europe after that. But that one in the Byzantine Empire killed 10,000 people in Constantinople each day while it was going on. 10,000 people a day were snuffed out, and all the people that were affected by that were filled, obviously, with anxiety, stress, worry, concern. In 1918, during World War I, last month of it, there was a really virulent and deadly strain of flu that started out in a U.S. military camp in Kansas. And 6 months later, that flu had become a worldwide pandemic on every continent. And it's called the Spanish flu, although it didn't originate in Spain. And about 1 billion people, or half of the population of the world, had contracted that flu. And it killed between 20 and 100 million people. We don't even know. That's a pretty broad span there. But between 20 and 100 million people were killed by that pandemic from a little bitty microscopic bug. What am I saying? How does this relate to casting all your care upon God? It relates like this. It's a small, seemingly insignificant care and concern, anxiety and stress that may threaten to become one of the world-class problems for any one of us at any time. Like I said this morning, That care that starts when you begin to worry, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. And it can grow to a mountain of size in a short time. So God is very wise to say to us, cast all your care upon Him. Now our last point is that God incentivizes us to cast all our care upon Him by reminding us of this wonderful truth in our text. Let's read it again. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, sometimes in this old sin-beaten world, it seems like that God is off somewhere doing something else totally different. Every time we see some act of injustice, something happen that shouldn't have happened, innocent people losing their lives, and all of these bad things happening in the world, we sometimes get a hint of temptation to imagine or think that maybe God's looking the other way and that He really doesn't care one way or another. But it's just not true, brothers and sisters. For He careth for you. And I want to tell you something. I don't have time to expound on it. But God cares about the whole of mankind, even though they're wicked sinners rejecting Him, He, by day and by hour and by moment, extends mercies to human beings who don't deserve 1 minute of it, 1 second of it, lets them live and breathe His air and eat His food and walk upon His earth, and does unto give them what they deserve. So there's a kind of caring from the great and omnipotent God that most people don't see, but expressly, for He careth for you, His people. We sang that song, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. But do we believe it? Do we feel it? Do we realize that this is a song that tells us that Jesus Christ cares for us and sticks closer than a brother because He cares for us and watches over us because He cares for us? Didn't He say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden? And what was it He followed that up with? And I will give you rest. I believe that promise is to us also that might be burdened down by a load of care. He careth for you. God truly cares for His people. Baptists have a hard time with that because we've gotten such a sour look and thought about the way the word love and God loves has been abused, that we're afraid to come right out and talk about the love of God and the care of God. But God cares for us. We sang the song, God will take care of you. Do we believe it? Do we know He will? This verse teaches us that He cares for us. And I believe one thing is certain, that if God cares for us, He will take care of us. The psalmist said it so really pointedly and well in the 55th Psalm in verse 22. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God cares. He really does. And so if God cares for us, brothers and sisters, without a doubt, He's going to take care of whatever it is that we have anxiety or stress or worry about. He's going to take care of it. That's the main thrust of Peter's message to us. For He careth for you is as though He were saying, cast your care upon Him, because whatever you're worried about, He's going to take care of it anyway. He's going to handle this thing for you. And as I said this morning, you're not going to handle it. You're not going to be able to take care of it. You can take action, but any action you take apart from guidance of the Spirit of God, you'll probably end up in a ditch somewhere. So we need God's counsel, God's guidance, God's leading to take action and to do what's necessary when those things come before us that tend to cause us care and anxiety. But the main thing is, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. It's not just an instruction to stop worrying, but it's an instruction that says, cast all your care on God. He cares enough about you to work that thing out for you. That's the teaching, I believe, that He gives us. Meantime, it's as though the Lord is saying, meantime, you need to be rid of the weight of worry about what it is you're worrying about. It's not about having to do what you're going through. It's not about having to shoulder the project or the burden or the weight or the trouble. It's not about getting through your experience. It's about how you get through it. How do you get through it if you're full of anxiety? If you're stressed out, how can you get through it? Well, you can't. You can't get through it appropriately if you're all stressed out about it. And so that's what the Lord's teaching us. Give your care to Him and do what you got to do. And the Lord cares for you enough to handle whatever it is that has given you the kind of worry and concern, the care that you're having. When Jesus was is teaching us in the Bible to get rid of our fears and worries, He said something in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verses 29 through 31 that really goes home to this. What he said there was this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? That is, God notes it. When a sparrow, probably nothing more aggravating and useless than a house sparrow. I mean, they're an invasive species in the United States, and then that automatically puts them one mark down on the chart, because invasive species invariably put their nose in where they shouldn't be and end up getting involved in ecosystems and environments that mess things up for other species that were natural here. So, man, they're trouble. They always build a nest. When we were younger, some of us older guys and ladies, you can remember going down to the chicken house of the stable, and there's a big wad of straw sticking out from the rafters down there. Now, the sparrows were building there. And every time you turn around, there'd be another big wad of hay down there where they were building. And they just littered everything, made a mess everywhere they went. So a sparrow's a pretty useless bird here in the United States. But God takes note for the fall of every sparrow. He marks exactly when it falls and where it hits. Jesus goes on in that same analogy, in that illustration. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He notes sparrows falling, but he notes every hair on your head. And they are numbered. I'd hate to be God and count hairs on most of you guys' head. He doesn't have a problem counting mine. He can count them in about 3 seconds. But for a lot of people, counting those hairs would seem like an intensive task. I envy those of you that have heavy hair. I got to watch that, or I have envy in my heart about it. But the thing I'm saying is, the Lord has the hairs on your head numbered. That's how much attention He pays to you. I don't know why He cares so much about the hair on your head, but it's a way of saying to you, I care enough that the most minute part of you I know all about. That's what He's telling us. So He says in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 10, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. We need to realize that the Lord does care about us. The first proof that He cares about us is that He called us out of darkness into light. Why should He bother? He's got, I forget how many billions of people have lived and died on this earth since Adam. Billions upon billions, hundreds of billions. He's got all those people that He allowed to be born and live here and do things. Why should He take notice of one of us? I mean, but He did. And the fact that He did, the fact that He gave us life, that He called us to His dear Son, it ought to be obvious to us that He cares for us above and beyond our fellow human beings. How about besides other fellow saints that are in the household of faith? He cares about us more than those other human beings. He does. He careth for you. And we, as soon as we get that in our hearts, I think it'll help us be speedier to go to Him casting all of our care upon Him, for He careth for us. And let me just close with this one thing about this verse from Brother Peter. A reminder, just repeating what I've already said. This is not about averting, going around duty, going around troublous times, avoiding things that put a great weight of responsibility, that present problems in our lives. It's not about going around those things. It's about, how do I deal with them? It's about, how do I embrace them? It's about, how do I pick up my, you remember the illustration this morning, my toolbox, and I don't fill it full of dirt. I pick it up with the tools and the amenities that are in it, and I go do my project. That's what it's about. And so when we realize that the teaching of the Lord is about the mental frame, the emotional frame, the spiritual frame that we approach what we're going to face anyway in life, when we realize it's about that, it kind of clears things up about what He's telling us to do. Cast all of our care upon Him. Lord, I'm worried about something. I'm bringing that worry to You. Help me through this. Help me understand it. Help me to get clear of the worry, because I know You're going to take care of it. I know You're going to do the right thing for me. I know You're going to do the right thing for yourself. I know You're going to do the right thing, Lord. And You're going to help me with this problem that I've let overburden me, let cause me to be worried, to fret, to have care. When we realize that's what we're being taught here, it gives us a better perspective about how to go to the Lord in our times of stress, or in our times better than that, when we're about to come under stress because we've started this useless worrying, fretting, and stewing. May the Lord help us to understand that.